God is a consuming fire. He is a holy God and he will deal with sin forever and ever. But yet today is a day of grace and the day of salvation. You can turn and be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. You can be delivered from God's judgment forever.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we continue our series in the book of Ezekiel.
Yes, we will, Dave, and we're going to finish our look at chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. So let's turn there together as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. And his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself. So, did you notice there were two warnings? There were warning to the wicked, and the warning to the outwardly righteous who stray. Okay? That's basically who Ezekiel's going to come to. That's basically the people who are in their sins, they're claiming to be God's people, the wicked, and those who are righteous who stray. Notice, first of all, there is a warning to the wicked. And within this warning to the wicked, there are two particular possibilities for Ezekiel. One that he warns and one that he doesn't, right? And then within that, either they listen or they don't. So what if Ezekiel doesn't warn the wicked? What does God say here? What if he doesn't warn them? Verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. This is God saying it. God is saying to the wicked through his word that Ezekiel's to bring forth, you shall surely die. And you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, die in his sin. But his blood I will acquire from your hand. Now this phrase, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, would probably perk up maybe a Jew's ears. It's the exact same phrase from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, you can turn there, Genesis 2 verse 16. It literally is dying you shall die. Dying you shall die. Death will happen absolutely. There's no way around it in this context. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree in the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die. Dying you shall die. And then we have Satan, who always comes along and tries to lessen God's word or negate it. And in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you surely shall not die. He basically said, dying you shall die, not. That's what he said. He quoted God's word. He said, no. He denied that, okay? But the reality is, the wages of sin is death. There is certainly physical death because of sin, but if you die in your sins, there is the second death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you die in your sins, you will experience the second death, separation and punishment in the lake of fire forever and ever. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. And God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's desire is for them to repent. Ezekiel chapter 18. You can go there, 18 verse 4. Because this dying is not simply physical dying. It's talking about souls. It's talking about spiritual realities. Ezekiel 18 verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. Sin brings death. Look at Ezekiel 18:29. But of the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Each according to his conduct, declares the Lord. Repent and turn away from your transgressions so that your iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make for yourselves a new heart, a new spirit. For why would you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. Some of you are dead. You're dead to God because of sin. And Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid the full price. And if you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven, and you will have eternal life. God over and over again warns in Scripture of the wages of sin. It's death, and there's judgment. And so the watchman, as God's servant, is to warn those God has placed in his presence concerning their sin, their iniquities, that has brought death and will bring judgment. Back in our passage, chapter 3 of Ezekiel, verse 18, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. Dying you shall die. It's an absolute. And you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. The warning is given from the Word of God. God says you shall die in your sin. God says the wages of sin is death. God says he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through a man having furnished proof by raising from the dead. Therefore, he's declared to all men everywhere to repent. God says that. God is a God of life and not of death. Therefore, repent and live. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but precious in his sight are the death of his godly ones. They go into his presence, and death has been defeated once for all. So what do they do if they don't repent? End of verse 18, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. That's a horrible thing. To die in your sins is a horrible thing. We see from the New Testament, we see from Scripture, once appointed man to die and then the judgment. And it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And there is the being cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night, to pay the penalty for your sin forever and ever. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Warning. Don't go there. Warning. Turn to the Lord Jesus now. Turn to him. Trust in him. And you'll live. So now, if Ezekiel doesn't warn, notice what the Scripture says, but his blood I'll require at your hand. You are responsible, Ezekiel. If you don't warn him and he dies in his iniquity, you have his blood on your hands. You are responsible. This is extremely serious stuff to preach the Word of God. You better preach it. You better preach it in season. I say you better preach it completely. You better reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And boy, you should be in a church that's doing that. Think about your pastors and all these churches. They walk up to the thing and they got blood all over their hands every Sunday because they don't preach the word faithfully. They shrink back when it comes to really speaking of sin and repentance. I hear it all the time, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, but they don't tell you what is the news that comes before that, that you need to repent. And the good news is that Jesus died for your sins, your sins. You're a sinner. They got a lot of blood in their hands. There's no room in the body of Christ for a pastor, preacher who does not warn his congregation of the consequences of sin. There is no room, whether they appear wicked or appear to be, as we'll see, righteous. Either way, called to preach and teach faithfully. And Ezekiel is to proclaim everything the Lord brings to him. Everything he says, he's to proclaim everything. He's not to shrink back. If he does, blood is on his hands. And for those who are called to share the Word of God, we read this earlier, but turn to Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, in his last words to the Ephesian elders, shares something very important. Acts 20, verse 25. And now behold, I know all of you among whom I went preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole purpose of God, the whole counsel. He didn't hold back the word of God. He would have had spiritual blood on his hands if he didn't share the whole counsel of God, if he didn't share God's word. Pretty serious thing. You know, if someone doesn't respond, then the blood is on them. Acts chapter 18, verse 5. I'll read this for you. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, saw me testifying to the Jews that Jesus was a Christ, Acts 18, 6. And when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook off his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own hands, I am clean. For now I shall go to the Gentiles. Serious thing. And you know, judgment is a serious thing. There is a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 12, 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. That's the Lord Jesus through his word. God is a consuming fire. He is a holy God and he will deal with sin forever and ever. But yet today is a day of grace and the day of salvation. You can turn and be saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. You can be delivered from God's judgment forever. You know, it's a horrifying thing when you see people who you know aren't saved and they die. Popular people, you know, they're in Hades now waiting their judgment, wanting to have the flame of their tongues put out. So hot, this flame, they're in agony and they're on their way to judgment. And it's never going to change because the day of salvation is over for them. Repent before it's too late. That means to change your mind, and thus you're going to change your behavior. You're going to turn to Jesus. You can't stop sinning, but you can turn to him acknowledging your sin. You could turn to him and ask for forgiveness of sins, and he'll forgive you, and he'll enable you to follow him and walk with him. So some people say to me at times, I've heard, what's wrong with churches that are soft on the gospel? They say it that way, soft on the gospel? That sounds like Satan words. Soft on the gospel? Who teach of Jesus, who meets needs? They don't teach about his judgment of sin, whatever it might be. They proclaim the gospel all the way up to talking about sin, then they back away. What's wrong with that? They have spiritual blood in their hands. Woe to them. By God's grace, may they repent. And let me say something. Those of you who are in bad churches with pastors with spiritual blood, denominational churches, some evangelical churches, you go to that church, you are complicit. You are adding into it because your presence there assures other people to be there. Get out of those bad churches because you got blood in your hands too and confess your sin. Get in a church where those who are preaching and teaching proclaim the word of God fully. Serious matter. God will hold you accountable. For pastors, teachers, can you say you are innocent of the blood of all men? That you did not shrink back from declaring all that is profitable? I hope so. Now again, the applications for this passage are primarily for pastors, teachers, those who proclaim the word. But they're also for us too. When God opens the door to share the word, and you know it, you know, when he's opening a door, he's doing it, and you shrink back, that's not good. Be ready to share while you've got hope. You know the God of the universe who has saved you. You have eternal life. He loves you. He gave himself for us. He gave himself for our sins. What a great God we have. Be ready to share about him. Be ready to share. Okay, so now what happens if Ezekiel does warn? Back in our passage, verse 19. Yet if you have warned the wicked, chapter 3, verse 19, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Ezekiel, you're not responsible. There's no blood in your hands because you warned him. It is all on that person who did not take heed to the warning from God, by the way, through Ezekiel. Notice it's his wickedness and his wicked way. God takes no responsibility for their sin. We sin on our own. It's our sin. But Jesus died for our sins. The principle is clear. Everyone is responsible for their own sin. No excuses. Oh, my family was this. Oh, there's always excuses everywhere. You don't know what my early life was like. You don't know. No, I'm sorry. God knows everything. And he says that all men everywhere should repent. That's what God says. Regardless of your past. And you can be set free and you can have eternal life because he loves us. He sent his son. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever believes in him shall not perish. So then, there is a grievous sin of omission. And it is happening a lot in churches these days. It is a grievous sin. So notice this next part as we finish talking about the wicked. First of all, now the righteous who stray. Interesting. These are the people he's going to come across. These are the people of the house of Israel that he's going to see in the river Shebar. The wicked and the righteous, as we're going to see. Verse 20, chapter 3. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Again, two different scenarios for Ezekiel. Either he warns or he doesn't. And now notice, again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity. And you go, this is creating a theological quandary for me. Here we have someone called a righteous man who has evidently turned to sin and needs to be warned so that they wouldn't die in their sin. All right? That's a quandary, okay? How could a righteous man, biblically speaking, die in their sin? Well, I think the passage helps us here. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness. Notice it's his righteousness. It implies it's his own actions and commits iniquity. You see, the term righteousness here is evidently speaking of someone walking in external righteousness, following God's word externally, right? But the inside hasn't been changed. It's his righteousness. It's his own righteousness. Hey, you can look at some Mormons. They got some pretty righteous deeds in their righteousness. But it's not God's righteousness. Okay? But he's apparently following the Lord, seeming to be following the Lord. But he turns and sins. It comes out. Some sin is evident, you know, going before. Some falls afterwards, right? We know that there is none righteous, Old Testament, not even one. Requoted in Romans 3, none righteous. Yet righteousness, true righteousness, comes through a relationship with the living God. And in the Old Testament, it was through faith in the seed of Abraham who would come and die for their sins. It was faith to him, Abraham, reckoned to him as righteousness. We see that. And now it is in faith through Jesus Christ, the seed who has come and died for our sins and risen from the dead. We receive his righteousness and then we walk by that. We have that in our lives. But here, someone who would appear to be righteous shrinks back into sin, kind of showing who they really are. Back to our passage. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. Here we have the righteous man turned from his righteousness, committing iniquity, and God says he placed an obstacle. What's that obstacle? Well, in Ezekiel 18, he says in the end of verse 30 that iniquity might not become a stumbling block to you. It's sin and the consequences of sin that God allows to come before you. It's an obstacle. It's a stumbling block. He starts to stumble over his sin. The Lord is a good God. He allows consequences to stumble people for their sin. And he says, and I place an obstacle before him. He shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin. The implication is he didn't repent. Okay? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he shall reap. Well, what if the straying man doesn't repent and Ezekiel doesn't warn him? He says he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered. They're not truly righteous, right? So they're nothing. They're faux righteous. They're not going to be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Its blood is on you, Ezekiel, if you didn't warn him. Again, the serious responsibility to those who declare God's word, who are called to warn, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. Extremely serious matter to declare God's word. And if you shrink back, you're accountable. Now notice what happens if he warns them and they repent. However, if you have warned the righteous man, verse 21, that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning and you have delivered yourself. Now this is his basic call. Later on we're going to see in Ezekiel that they're to repent. They're to turn from their ways. They're to turn from their ways. They're to get a new heart from the Lord. We're going to see that. That's really what's happening when someone turns from his ways, turns to the Lord for forgiveness. He gets a new heart. He shall surely live because he took warning. Today, if you're not saved, take warning. There is a hell and there is a judgment. If you take heed and turn to Jesus and believe in him, you will be delivered. And if I didn't warn you, your blood would be on my hands. So what we pray for, what we desire, that they would repent and respond to the word of God. Extremely serious. If you've been called to preach and teach the word of God, proclaim it in its entirety. Proclaim it to whom the Lord calls you. Do not shrink back. There's a lot of people shrinking back with their little ministries of one area of the Bible only. Preach the word of God consistently. The Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, they would repent and live. If you shrink back, you're culpable for the people you should have warned. Spiritual blood in hands. The Apostle Paul said, he is innocent of the blood of all men. Can you say that as a pastor and teacher? Can you say it? If not, you need to repent and get right with the Lord right now. Step down, get right with the Lord, let him restore you. So then today we've seen that Ezekiel is appointed a watchman over the house of Israel. He is to proclaim God's word. He is to warn them from, the Lord says, from me. He is to warn the wicked and the righteous the Lord brings to him. He is to warn them with God's word that they might turn from their sin and repent. So what's the primary application of this passage? Obviously, it's to those who are called to preach his word. And I want to ask you, are you a faithful watchman? Or do you have spiritual blood on your hands? Can you say you didn't shrink back from declaring anything that was profitable? Can you say that in your heart of hearts? Again, if not, you're in deep trouble. Repent, step down right away. Be restored. Allow the Lord to take you and restore you, but confess right now. What about those who don't have pastor teacher gifts? What type of teaching are you placing yourself under? Do your pastors come to the pulpit every Sunday with blood all over their hands, spiritual blood? Get away from there because you're culpable by staying there. Because your presence is an affirmation of their wickedness. Get out of there. Get out of there. And lastly, there's a tertiary application for all of us. Again, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We're to be ready to give an account for the hope, what we have. We're to be praying for open doors for the word. And when the Lord opens it, in his time, we need to be ready to share. And we must not shrink back.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. You know, Greg, in these final moments of today's program, what's one thing that we can take away from today's message?
Well, Dave, as we've seen, there is serious responsibility for those who are called to preach and teach God's word. You see, if you don't share God's word fully, you shrink back, you're going to have spiritual blood in your hands. That's a serious thing. We're to preach the word in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. We're to preach God's word. So then, brothers and sisters, we need to recognize the responsibility of those who teach us and preach, and certainly be praying for them, but also be evaluating whether they are being faithful to their calling or not. And if they're not, we need to get out of there and to get into good churches that have men who are faithful and have no spiritual blood in their hands, who are preaching and teaching God's word faithfully.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.